Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Today's episode of Locked On Warriors is brought to you by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com to get all the parts you need for your car or truck at a reliably low price. This is part three of our six-part series discussing race and justice reform in America with former Warriors players over the last six decades. I'm joined today by Jamal Wilkes, who played for the Warriors from 1974 to 1977. Jamal, thanks for being on. And to get started, I want to know how you've dealt with not having sports in your life for the last few months.
with difficulty. I watch as many movies. It's been hard. I don't watch the replays they have going on, except, you know, I did watch The Last Dance, and I enjoyed it very much. But it's hard trying to find other stuff to do right now.
And I think because of that, you know, a lot of people have been very in tune with what's happening in our country right now. How did you react to the initial video of George Floyd's death and then the protests that we're seeing now?
Well, you know, and I agree with you. I think because there's no sports, it brings all the focus, all the attention on to what's going on in our world, and, you know, perhaps rightfully so. But, you know, it's been a, you know, on the one hand, it was very shocking and disturbing. On the other hand, it's nothing new. I mean, this has been going on. And I think the fact that it was caught 8 minutes and whatever seconds, or just, you know, it was just unbelievable. I mean, it was terrible. It was horrible. And the fact that no one could deny what happened because there was footage, I think that also, along with there being no sports, really brought it to a head, because now there's no speculation, you know, and so it was just murder, outright murder. And, you know, I think that all lives matter, of course, but it's only black lives that are being murdered. Mm-hmm. So black lives do matter. And I think that, you know, we can no longer tiptoe or ignore the elephant in the room, you know, which is systemic racism, white privilege. Right. You know, we just can't ignore it anymore. And yet I'm encouraged. On the one hand, it was horror, but the reaction of our country and globally to it, particularly the young people, you know, I don't think the young people are, you know, I think there's hope because of the young people. You know, they didn't grow up with the residue of the civil rights era hanging around them as much as I did. But, you know, hey, we live in a great country, let's face it, and I'm proud to be an American, and we need law and order. We definitely do need law and order, but I think these aberrations, and if they don't reflect on the majority of police officers at all, you know, they don't. I mean, the majority, by far, the majority of police officers are not only good people, but they're hardworking. They sacrifice their lives every day. They give service to all of us. So I think that's the first point. We got to keep that out there. But the other thing is, when we have these, what I call, for lack of a better term, aberrations like Floyd and the long list of others, you know, I don't know what the circumstances were, but with Floyd, it was clear that it was murder. And I know there were two men recently that were hung in Southern California, in the Antelope Valley. You know, I think we need to get to the bottom of that. We need mm-hmm. symbolic and substantive. I don't know. You know, I'm not an activist. I'm not in the guts of, you know, the stuff. But we need some kind of reform going on with our police department, recognizing that by far the majority are good police and are probably as embarrassed and sickened and disgusted with incident as the rest, most of the country is.
What is your relationship with the police? Do you have friends or family members in that are police or anything like that? When you see something like in Atlanta that happened yesterday, where a number of officers basically called out, right before their shift in some sort of protest. When you see something like that, what do you think?
I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
Yesterday in Atlanta, I guess because there was another shooting over the weekend, a number of police officers just called out because they were disgusted with how their, with how one of their fellow officers behaved, and they just
I'm sure by far the majority of them, like I said, they're good people. They're good, good service. They're oriented, and they are upset with it.
Do you have family or friends that are police officers?
I've had family that's police officers and friends, both. Mm-hmm. And I actually had an incident in 1992 myself in L.A. where I was, racial profiling. And, they stopped me. I was leaving an office. I was dressed very nice in a, coat and tie. I was going somewhere. And, I've been a big supporter of police over the years, because I do have family and friends. But when they pulled me over that day, and, they didn't care if I was Jamal Wilkes or John Henry, and it was just I saw a different, it was very intimidating, very unnerving, and very dehumanizing. And I saw where, if I didn't have, my wits about me, the experience dealing with people and situations, things could have gotten crazy real fast. So it is very dehumanizing, racial profiling. And
what is it that, what happened? I'm sorry to interrupt, but what happened there? What was the situation with the racial profiling?
Well, they pulled me over in a car. And they said that my license plate was about to expire. And, I looked at them, it's not expired, and they handcuffed me, and it was very intimidating. And then after, 15, 20 minutes, they let me go. But, the initial pulling me over and getting out, I didn't know why they stopped me. I'm like, hi, officer, what's up? Why'd you guys stop me? He said, well, you might have, your plates might be expiring soon. And then I knew it was just hocus pocus right then, because there was no reason to pull me over.
Were you afraid?
I was terrified.
We'll be right back with Jamal Wilkes, but with the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it could be impossible to stock all the parts you need, especially now while you may not be able to or willing to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup you find at chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all of the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. You mentioned you grew up with some of the residue of the civil rights movement and things like that. Can you take me back to that and how that just sort of compares to now? What was it like growing up in that sort of
atmosphere? I didn't grow up in the South. I grew up in California.
Right.
And so, but I grew up seeing dogs sit on people. We saw that on the news, people protesting. I grew up when the Civil Rights Bill was passed, when the Voting Rights Act was passed. And so I remember how it felt, to be on the outside of America, or to feel that way, not to be that way, but to feel that way sometimes. And so what I meant was these young people today, they grew up with President Barack Obama.
Mm.
Right. So it's a different, it's a different consciousness now. But the issues are still are still pretty blatant and rear their head occasionally, and we need to address it.
Does this feel different to you than past protests and past outrage?
Well, it does. Number one, it's coming on. We're right in the middle of a global pandemic, arguably the worst in modern history. So it's kind of a double whammy. Plus, we have no sports, and then we got all this stuff going on, and then we have a president who can be very entertaining or distracting, depending on how you look at it. But he's to say the least. So it's a unique time in our country's history, I believe, for all those reasons. And we also saw eight minutes plus caught on video. I mean, we all saw the horror of that, so there can be very little dispute about what happened there.
And this has been an issue for so long. I'm curious what your conversations are like when you and your family and your friends are talking about this right now. Is there frustration? Is there hope?
There's horror. I mean, you feel bad when anyone loses a child or family member due to violence, whether it was wrongfully or rightfully, but particularly when it was murder. You always feel hope. I mean, hope springs eternal. If you don't have hope, why wake up in the morning? I have friends in all stratas of society. Some bump up and have to deal with it more than others. We just all hope. Well, first of all, I think the issue that the elephant in the room, I mean, we just can't ignore it or look the other way or try and pretend, this is what happened and this is pointing to what it is. While there's all this other good stuff going on and in our country, there's some fringe elements that are just very dangerous. So this is what we talk about.
How do you think that former players, current players in the NBA, and maybe the league too, can help support and push this movement?
Well, the NBA is a business. It's not a nonprofit. Okay, so these guys got to get. Hopefully, we'll get back to work sooner rather than later. But I think how they can support it. Is number one, encouraging voter registration, getting involved, encouraging these young black men that are getting shot in the streets to go vote, and then I think they can do it visually. I don't think they don't need to. They play basketball for a living. That's what they need to be doing. They don't need to be protesting and all that. But I would like to see Kaepernick get an opportunity in the NFL as a symbolic gesture. But I think the NBA, they can, when they're on their own time, they can wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts or whatever kind of t-shirts they want to wear. I don't think it should be, the NBA is a business. They need to get to the business of playing basketball, and that's what they're there for.
That said, when you see somebody like Steph Curry with the platform that he has participate in protests in Oakland, when you see that, how do you feel?
I believe in the individual right, as long as it's peacefully done. That was his choice. Others, do it differently. Mm-hmm. But I respect that, as well as applaud it.
When Colin Kaepernick took that knee in 2016, what was your reaction to that when he did that? When he did that peaceful protest during the games, and just sort of the media backlash?
Well, my first reaction was, why did he do it? You know, I don't know if, and I understand why he did it. You go back to 1968, the Olympics with Tommy Smith and John Carlos. You know, and when guys do protests like that, especially black men in America, it doesn't bring them sponsorships. It's not about branding. They don't do it for, you know, those reasons. So they get ostracized. So obviously, they're not gaining any money doing it. Whether you agree or disagree with them, they're very sincere about what they're doing, and their feelings are very sincere. But you know, since he took the knee, and it was a peaceful protest, so I was okay with it from that point of view. That it was a peaceful protest.
In these uncertain times when we can't get to the store or go to our favorite restaurant, we often end up searching the deepest depths of our kitchen for a snack. Stop settling for the bag of chips and other unhealthy snacks. Instead, reach for something healthy and delicious, called Built Bars. This is the best-tasting protein bar I've ever had, a protein bar covered in 100% real chocolate. Built Bar tastes like a candy bar while delivering fewer sugars and carbs, making it better tasting and better for you than any of the competitors. With 16 amazing flavors like peanut butter chocolate, mint brownie, and orange chocolate cream, Built Bar is like a cheat code for health-conscious men and women. These bars are low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for ketogenic and other low-carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
There's been so much of this over the years. What needs to happen for something to actually change in your mind, beyond the protests, when we talk about actual policy in the country? What actually has to happen for something to change?
Well, that's a very complex question, my friend. And I'm just Joe Citizen, you know. it's easy for me to, but I think the direction we need to go, I think, you know, we need to bring back affirmative action to deal with the systemic racism, the residue of slavery in America. We need some radical solutions. Now, you know, I like the conversation about reparations, although, you know, honestly, I think... I'm not suggesting it's an answer or a solution. It could possibly at this point even maybe do more harm than good. But I think we need to keep the conversation out there. Police, you know, I don't know their procedures and all that well. I mean, if the chokehold should be banned or not, but we need to do something different there. I don't really have any concrete suggestions, but
right.
You know, and I'm not familiar at all with their training procedures or anything. So, but we need to tweak it somehow. But we do need law and order, no doubt about it. I think we need to keep it in the conversation. And even though people aren't comfortable talking about it, but you see that we have an incident like George Floyd and the whole country almost blows up.
We talked a little bit about, you know, the NBA resuming its season and stuff, but what are your thoughts on that happening? Because there's been a lot of criticism among some NBA players that say a return would distract from everything that's happened since George Floyd. Then another group of players are saying that they can sort of, you know, use the platform for good. Do you think the NBA can balance pushing social reform and resuming its season?
Well, they have to resume their season as soon as they can. And, you know, first and foremost, it's their job. That's what they do. I don't know if the NBA, per se, as an entity, has to do anything, because I think they've been very progressive, or the most progressive sports league, you know, that I'm aware of. So they've demonstrated an openness to adjusting. And so already, so I think, you know, by perhaps continuing to support personal initiatives that players have, or groups of players have, but the NBA, what they do best is play basketball. That's what they need to get back to.
I appreciate you answering this question. Thanks for taking the time, sir.
Absolutely. Have a good day. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you. Thanks again to Jamal Wilkes for joining the show. That was part 3 of our 6-part series. On Friday, I'll talk to Clifford Ray for part 4. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can rate us, review us, and say nice things about us. Use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. Thank you for listening, and stay safe.